Today, Shir's Masechta Yevamos Daf Pei. We will begin on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis. In our previous Shir, the Gemara had made a distinction between a Sris Chama, somebody who was born that way, versus somebody who's not that Sris. And the Gemara now wants to understand what are the simonim. The way the Ritva explains the Gemara's question is the Gemara is not here focusing on who's a Sris, who's a Btsudaka. The Gemara is asking, what are the simonim that we could tell that this individual is a Sris Chama? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Shlo Rosh Ha'achs B'Kashrusai. Someone who was a Sris from the moment that he was born. So some explain what it means is that he's a Sris Chama, that his mother apparently might have had too much heat in her body, and that excessive heat in her body caused that he should be born a Sris. Another pshat that we've quoted previously is that from the moment Chama, from the moment he was able to see the sun, from that moment in his life, he's always been a Soris. Says the Ramanaya Dinan, how, as we said, do we have simonim to be able to determine if he's that type of a Soris? Says the Gemara, Amar Bai Kol Amatl Mayim. If anybody urinates, Vein Asa Kippa, the urine doesn't leave his body in a stream, such an individual is considered a Sris Chama. Says the Gemara, Mamai Hava, what causes one to be a Sris Chama? Says the Gemara, Ape Ime Betara, his mother baked bread in the afternoon, and because there was heat coming from the bread, from her body, and the heat from the sun, because it was the middle of the day, and the heat of the oven, that caused that this child should be born as a Soris. Or Shashi Shikra Marka, she drinks a diluted beer. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Haina de Shemana Leimi. So Rabbi Yosef says, now I could understand a statement that I heard from my mother. Dama Kol Shebe Eime Lokoi. Somebody who already developed this problem in his mother's womb. And I wasn't exactly sure what was meant with that statement. Now says the Gemara, now he says I understand what was meant. Says the Gemara, but Leichish, why are we not concerned? Shemer Hivri Ben Atayim. Maybe he was indeed born that way, and then something changed. And as the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, because the question that they're addressing is that doesn't he have a chazaka? Aren't we dealing with an individual that we know has been established to be a Soros? And once he's established to be a Soros, isn't that clearly an indication that if that's what he was, that's who he is? That's the definition of a chazaka. So the Aruch HaNer explains that a chazaka is only in a situation where something can remain with that status quo indefinitely. But people's bodies, everybody's bodies, as we'll be going to learn in our sugyas, change. Since people's bodies change, this is not considered a chazaka, because a chazaka shasui lishtanis, a chazaka that's prone to change, is not halakhically considered a chazaka. Answers the Gemara, kiven the tchilosoi v'soifoi, that even though this is the way, again, the Rishonim and Achronim explain the Gemara. Yes, this is the type of chazaka that's osi lishtanish, that things will change. But by this individual, we saw no change. Since by this individual we saw no change, we say, kiven the tchilosoi v'soifoi l'zokoi, he always is a soris, l'chashinin, we don't in any way assume that changed. Mosav Rav Mori. Rav Mori asks, the Mishnah discusses in Masechta Bechairis that we know that the firstborn animal, the firstborn male animal, if it's a male, is a Bechar. And the halacha is that, and as a big portion of the Masechta Bechairis discusses, that the halacha is if the animal is a Balmum, then the Hilchas Bechar, that it should be brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach, does not apply. And the Mishnayos discuss different type of mumim, different types of blemishes. One of the blemishes that's discussed is what's known as chavarvara. Chavarvara is that it has white wraps in its eyes. And those white wraps are there for 80 days, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah. How can we know that they were there for these consecutive 80 days? Do we have to check every day? Says the Gemara, Chanina ben Tignas Oymar, Baitan I say, Shloshim Pam B'Tarich Shman Hashanah. We check this animal three times within the 80 days. The Gemara Masech B'Chayris says that the first examination is after 26 half days after we saw this blemish. Then we do the next one after 26 days, and then the next one after 27 days, for a total of 30 days. So we see that if we checked it three times, we have to check it three times. And if not, we have to be concerned that maybe it got better in between, and it's not in this status of being a chavarver. So the question is, why over here don't we have to do the same? Why can we assume, asked the Gemara, that since he was a Sris, he remained a Sris? Answers the Gemara. Chadever, there we're talking about a blemish in the eye. When we're talking about a blemish in the eye, there chashinan. And as the Tva explains, since it's only affecting one organ, so it doesn't represent a real disease in this person's body. And since it doesn't represent a real disease in this person's body, we could perhaps assume that it gets better. But here, when we're talking about a saris is someone who his deficiency affects kulegofe. It affects the entire body. And there, if we see that he has this deficiency, like a shinan, we don't start assuming that maybe it changed, maybe it came back. Rabbi Lezer Amar Loi Ki, Rabbi Lezer disagreed, and he says that a sris chama choltsim v'choltsim l'ishtoi, neishir yesh l'refuah, because he could be healed. And says Rabbi Lezer, since he could be healed, he's not considered a soros. Ask the Gemara v'reminu. We find elsewhere that Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion that a sris chama doesn't do chalitza, because the Mishnah Masechta Nida teaches us. If you have an individual that's ben es mishana, that's 20 years old, v'lehevi shtei saris, we know that in order for a person to be considered both a male or a female, to be considered a gadol or a gedayla, they have to bring shtei saris. So if, and normally that's at the age of 12 by a girl, 13 by a boy, that's how they become bar or bas mitzvah. If you have a 20-year-old that did not ever bring the shtei saris, and now there's a question of yibam, Yaviyu Raish ben Esrim, says Rabbi Lezer, let's know conclusively that he's 20 years old, and who has Saris? And that is the individual that's a Saris, that the halacha is, Lechayletz v'loy miyabim, that he doesn't do any chalitza. Furthermore, Bas Esrim, if you have a 20-year-old woman, Lechayletz v'loy miyabim, also did not bring the Shtei Saris, Yaviyu Raish ben Esrim, we need to bring a raya that she's already 20. We have to be confident that she's 20 years old. V'hiya ailness, and she's the individual who's a ailness. And then the halacha is that she could get married without having any chalitza or yibam. Loi chalitza, loi mishabem, it's divrei beis shalom. Beis shamayim say that the age to identify if one is an ailness is not at 20, but rather Bnei Shmoneser at 18. Rabbi Lezer Amar Zocher Kedivrei Beis Hillel, a boy, a male, is only identified at age 20. Unekeva Kedivrei Beis Shammai, and a woman is identified at 18. And he explains the reason why he differentiates between males and females. Neishi Ishim Amaharis Lovel of Neish. Just like we find that we know a girl becomes bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah at 12, and a boy only becomes bar mitzvah at 13. The same as far as identifying if this person ailness or a soris, women's maturity, women's status is identified much quicker. And as soon as she is 20 years old, we will know, as soon as she's 18 years old, says Rabbi Elazar, we will know that she's an ayinless. So what do we see in this Mishnah? That if we identified that this male, whatever it is a saris, he won't do chalitza. Now, these simonim are by a sris chama, and yet we see Rabbi Elazar holds that we don't do chalitza. Amara answers the Gemara, Amara by the Kula Amishmul, Chosba Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar changed his position. But as the Gemara, we have not identified which position has he's changed. In other words, our Mishnah has him holding one way. The Mishnah Masechta Nida has him holding a different way. Which is the position that he ultimately felt was the correct position? Ibailuhu mehai hodba answers the Gemara Toshma the Tanya Beleza Oimer Sris Chama Cholzin v'Cholitz v'Cholzin l'Ishtayim. We do chalitza. She came as Rapin b'Alexandria Shemitzrayim, as we found in Alexandria Shemitzrayim, that these individuals were able to be healed. So our Mishnah and the Braisa in the Braisa concur, and that's Rabbi Elazar, and that says the Gemara's Rabbi Elazar's final position. Why is that considered the final position? So Rashi gives two pshatim. One pshat Rashi says that we have it's just a question of numbers. It's two against one. Our Mishnah and the Braisa have Rabbi Elazar holding one way. The Mishnah Masechta Nida has Rabbi Elazar holding another way. And since this is the majority, in most places we find Rabbi Elazar holds this way, that must be the position that he followed. A second explanation that Rashi offers is that, as we just read the Braisa, the Braisa didn't just state Rabbi Elazar's halachic position. The Braisa actually quoted a story. And as we often discuss, whenever we're dealing with something that's a Maisa Shahaya, whenever we're dealing with something which represents an episode that we could refer to, that is stronger in halacha. But now, the Gemara gives a different teretz into the contradiction that we've discovered in the opinions of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar amar la'olam lo hadabei. He didn't retract. V'chi tanya he and the Mishnah Masechta Nida that identified what makes a woman into an islandess, what makes a man into a saris, wasn't referring to Hilchos Yibam Chalitza, it's referring la'onshim. As far as what point are they considered gedolim? At what point are they considered gedolim that if they do an aveira, they'll be chayiv for doing the aveira? But it has nothing to do with what we're discussing in our Masechta regarding Yibam Chalitza. Itmar, says the Gemara, Ochal Chalif, if you have a woman who did not yet bring the Saris that ate Chalif, Miben Es Rishana ad Ben Shemen Es Rishana, and she did this from when she was 12 years old, Miben Es Rishana V'yom Echad, till she was 18. And then, when she was 18, Noldavai Samani Saris, and then she got the simonim of a saris. So the question is, at what point are they considered a gedola? Now that we've identified that this individual is a saris, at what point are they considered? From what point are they considered a saris? Rav Amar nas saris l'mafreya. She becomes a saris from 12 years old, and therefore, since she ate chaylev in this period from 12 to 18. It's considered as if she ate chaylev when she was a gdailah. Rav Amar Nasa Saras L'mafreya. Shmuel Amar, no. From when she's 18 years old and she is identified in an islandess, that's the point that she's an islandess. But till then, she's not considered that she's an islandess. So Rashi explains that Rav's opinion that Nasa Saras L'mafreya is the fact that she ultimately did not bring the Saris. That is a conclusive proof that she was really at the age when a girl becomes a gedola, 12 years old, she was a gedola. And as many Rishonim explained the opinion of Rashi, as we said a few moments ago, what makes a boy or a girl a gedola, a gadlo or a gedola? What makes them a gadlo or gedola is that you have to have two conditions. the proper age, 12 by a girl, 13 by a boy, and shtei saris. An individual who's not bringing the shtei saris, the halacha, Rav says, is very different with that individual. That individual is, the Torah says, there's only one condition that has to be met to make this individual into a galo g'tayla, and that is age. And therefore, since they at 12, since they ultimately did not bring the saris, that's why at 12 or at 12 by a girl, 13 by a boy, we determine that they're considered gedolim. The Beis Meir has a different approach. The Beis Meir says that often, or we have the Shas, the Gemara mentions the Chazaka de Rava. Chazaka de Rava says that when we have a boy in shul that's over 13 years old, why can we count them to the minyan? Chazaka de Rava says that since most boys at 13 are gedolim, we could assume, says Rava, that this boy is a gadol. And since we could assume that this boy is a gadol, that is enough to treat this boy as a gadol, and he's mechuy b'mitzvah, so we could count him towards a minyan. Says the Beis Meir, by this woman, by this boy who didn't bring the saris, so he also has the chazaka de Rava. The lack of saris questions, puts the chazaka de Rava for this individual into question. But once he doesn't bring the saris, then we fall back to, by 18:20, we fall back to the chazaka de Rava, and the chazaka de Rava tells us that we treat him as a girl from 12 by a girl or 13 by a girl. Another explanation, which Reb Chaim Brisker explains, that that's the way the Torah established, that the simonim that are brought ultimately when they're 18, 20, are a raya. That's the way the Torah said that when a boy or a girl bring these simonim of a sorosor islandness, that proves, that establishes that we're gedolim for 12 or 13. But of course, many Rishonim ask a question. Yes, even Rav says that they become a gadol back to 12, or by girl, 13 by boy. But there's a rule throughout Shas of Asra Sofik that in order to punish somebody for doing an Aveira, we have to give him proper warning. And here, we couldn't give a proper warning, because if he was doing the Aveira during any time between 12 and 18, 13 and 20, there was a question, maybe he is or maybe he isn't a gadol. Why is that not considered a Asra Sofik? So Tosfos Divrei Maskil Nasa asked this question, and Tosfos says that at this point, it's a Gloy Milsel Mafreya. Since at this point we identified that he was really a gadol at 13, she was really a gadol at 12, it's not considered Asra Sofik. And with this concept that Tosfos introduces, the Sefer Paradis Yosef answers a question that Dasakein and Bali Tosfos ask. They say that we know in the Midbar there were people who did Averis. The Mekoshish was Mechal Shabbos. The Megadev cursed Hashem. And at that point, as the Torah teaches us, when they were warned, we were not yet sure what is the Chiv Misa for such an Aveira. And the question is, so why is this not considered, why is the Hasra that they got before they did the Aveira considered a Hasra Sofik? Part of giving the Hasra properly is saying not just that what you're doing is an Aveira, not just saying that it's an Aveira that carries a Chiv Misa, but you have to identify which Chiv Misa it was. And here, it's clear from the Torah that they did not know at the time that these Averis were done what was the Chiv Misa. Says the Paradis Yosef that Tosfos just taught us that as far as Hilchas Hasra is concerned, you could have a concept of Igloy Misal Mafreya, that even if at the time of the Hasra we weren't quite certain, it's still considered an adequate Hasra. And that's why the Asra that the Mekoshish and the Megadif got were considered adequate Asras. The halacha in the Torah is that if somebody violates or seduces a girl who's a Narab Sula, he has to pay her father Chamishim Kesef. The Gemara Masechta Ksubis, Daf Chof Tesom and Aleph, brings a machlokes of Ramei and the Chachamim. If somebody violated a Ketana, does Knas have to be paid? Ramei holds you don't have to pay Knas, only by a Nara from 12 to 12 and a half. And the Chachamim hold Nara is only to exclude a Begeris. But a Ketana is the subject to Knas. Maskula Rav Yosef asks Rav Yosef, according to Rav, that says that a girl becomes retroactively, a girl who's identified to be an islandess retroactively becomes a Nara, islandess, Ramei Yila Knas. So she'd be subject to Knas. If she was violated from 12 to 12 and a half, and then when she was 18, she was identified to be an islandess, so that means she was a Naira. And why does Rameya in Masechta Ksubis, why does the Gemara Masechta Ksubis Rameya say in Daflam and Heyam and Beis that such a girl never is subject to Knas, the islandess? Amla Abaya, even if we'll say, says Abaya, that the girl from when she's 12 years old becomes a Gedayla, but as normally the situation with girls are, that till 12 they're ketanos, at 12 they become naris, and at 12 and a half they become a begeris. That is by a regular girl. But a girl who, as we're learning, is an islandess, never has the period that she is a nara. She goes directly from being a ketana to a begeris. And therefore, the halacha of a knas, of oinus, which only applies by a nara, doesn't apply by this woman. That's why Rashi explains. The Ramban has a chiddush. The Ramban says that the pshat in this Gemara is that yes, Rav is telling us that the girl becomes a gedoyla retroactively. And we've been learning, what does that mean that she becomes a gedoyla retroactively? Back to when she was 12 years old. Says the Ramban, that is actually inaccurate. She becomes a gedoyla when she's 12 and a half. And at 12 and a half is the age when she's a begeris. So that's why, says the Ramban, even according to Rav, she's never in the status, she never has a status of being a nara. And therefore, even if she was violated during that period of age, from 12 to 12 and a half, she would not be considered a nara. Amalei, so Rav Yosef says to Abaya, kol kehane milyasi, such wonderful things, Yisam Mishmi, should be said in my name. And the way I sort of Mefarshim explain this Gemara is that we often find in Shas that Reb Yosef forgot his learning. Reb Yosef forgot his learning, and Abaya or others would try to remind him what he might have forgotten. When Reb Yosef heard this, and they said, this Teretz that we're saying here is actually something that you taught us. He said, this is something that I'm very satisfied should be said in my name. The Tanya, Ein Asaras Nidnika Ben Sarer Meir. Asarer, the Torah speaks about a Ben Sarer Meir. The Maram Sechta Sanhedrin discusses about a man who steals from his parents, eats large amounts of meat and wine in a not proper fashion. And the Torah teaches us his Chayiv Skila. And the halacha is that a man can only become a ben sarah meirer between the time that he brings the shtei saris until the entire area by his reproductive organ becomes full of hair. Says the Gemara, the tanya ain't a saris, so an individual who's a saris can never become a ben sarah meirer. But fish ain't ben sarah meirer, need an elabes chasim azachin tachten. And a saris who doesn't have those simonim, therefore can never become a ben sarah meirer. Vain islandess, nidoinus kinara marasa, nor could a islandess ever have the halacha of a nara marasa. Where the Torah says that if an eishes ish, and as we often mention in our shiurim, a woman who's mureses is considered an eishes ish. And if she has an adulterous relationship, the halacha is that the misa for such a relationship is chenek, but a naro hamarasa, her misa is skila. So if you have a woman who is an islandess, she can never have the rules of a naro hamarasa. Because, says the Braisa, such an individual is always considered Mekatnusa Yotzus Labagus. She goes directly from Katnus to Bagrus. And since she goes directly from Katnus to Bagrus, that makes that she's never considered a Nara. Exactly what we just learned, this concept of Mekatnusa Yotzus Labagur. Amr Bavua, Simonis Saris, somebody who brought the Simonim that he's a Saris, islandess, or a woman that brought the simanim that she's an islandess, or ben shmoina, a child that's born to 8 months. And as we're going to learn extensively in our shir today, in those days, a child who is born to 8 months can never survive. So says the Gemara, all these people, ben shmoina, even though he brings simanim that show that he's a full-term child, we don't identify that these individuals are Soros illness. And we don't identify that this child who was born is a child that is a Ben Kayama. And the Rishonim say there are many Nafkaminas. One Nafkaminas, if he passes away, are there Halachas Avelis. If this child lives after his father died without any other children, is it considered that the father had children? In all these cases, we cannot say that these halachic statuses are established at Shei Ben Esrim, until they're 20 years old. But as the Gemara, this entire story is difficult to understand. Or Ben Shmoina Michai, is it possible for a child who's born to the 8th month to survive? The Tanya Ben Shmoina, a child that's born to 8th month, Hareuka Evan, he's considered like a stone. Vasal Tatloi, and one may not move him on Shabbos. He's considered like a stone because since he's not going to survive, he's considered like somebody that's a dead person. And the halacha is, as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, a dead person can't be moved. He's muksam. It's very important to point out that many Paiskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and many other Paiskim say that this is one of the cases that Nishtanu HaTeva, that even though the Gemara is very clearly, as we learned, and we're going to be learning in today's shir, establishing that a child who's born to 8 months cannot survive, that changed in nowadays, and we, Bezman HaZeh, know that children that are born to 8 months can and do survive. But the Gemara says, Ben Shmoina Reika Evvasal Tatloi, Aval Ima Soichalov, his mother can bend over. The mother has an abundance of milk and it's bothering her. The halach is that normally you could, of course, nurse your child on Shabbos. Here, she's in a situation of tsar and this child is not going to survive. Because of that, she could express the milk over the child, and we're not concerned that she's going to move the child. So the question is, how can we have a discussion in our Gemara, ask the Gemara, that this child survive, and what is his halacha, and what is his status? Answers the Gemara, that we are able to see that this child is going to make it. He has all the simonim that show that he's able to make it. Says the Gemara, the Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Ezu ben Shmoina, at what point is a child that considered a ben Shmoina, that, as we just said, he's considered like a dead individual, we can't move him on Shabbos, he's like a stone, that we see he didn't come full term. Rabbi Yama, Simonim Mechichim Lav. We could tell from the way he looks if he's a ben Kayoma. Sarvat Sarv Shloi Gamru. Tama Deloi Gamru. So where do we see from here? Because he isn't developed. Hagamru, if we see that he's developed, Amrinan, we say hi Bar Shivahu, that this child really is a child that was born to 7th month. And what happened was Ishtayi hu d'shtayi, he just got delayed. And it's interesting to point out that even though the Gemara says that children born to the eighth month cannot survive, children born to the seventh month can survive. Says the Gemara, Elohad of Rabbi Tosfa Ovda. There was once a situation that was brought to Rabbi Tosfa. Shish Shalt Balam Denis Hayom. There was a woman whose husband had been away. Vishta Atrechi Archishata. He had been away for 12 months. And then she had a baby. So that was seemingly indication that this child was not born to her husband, and that this child was a mamzer, says the Gemara of Achshrei. He said that we could treat this child as a kosher child, because we could assume that maybe she was pregnant and the child just remained in her womb for a long amount of time, says the Gemara. Kaman, according to whom the Rav Tosfa passed in this way, Karebi Dabba Mishtah. So the question is, the Gemara is asking a question. According to this, it's the opinion of Rebbe that a child could be delayed. But not everybody agrees with Rebbe. The Chachamim don't agree with Rebbe. And the Gemara's question is, how did Rav Tosfa passkin like Rebbe when that is not the halachic accepted opinion? Says the Gemara, Kivin Dikar of Shimon Gamliel, since we also have the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, Dama Mishtar, so it's not just Rebbe, who's passkin that way, it's Rabbanan also, Rabban Ovid. So what Rav Tosfa was the opinion of many Talmid Chachamim, and that's why acceptable. The Tanya, where do we see that that is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel? For says the Gemara, the Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, I'm a kol sheshar shloishim yoim. If we see that a child was born to 8 months, and then he survives for 30 days after that, we say, ain't a nafel. We could be confident that he was not born to 8 months. Rather, we say that he was born to 7 months, and Ishtai, what happened here was, there was a delay in him coming out to the world, and that's why he survived. So what the Gemara is saying is, we have a proof, we have the proof to this concept, that they're more, not just Rebbe holds the concept of Ishtai. I saw that the Chassam Sofer explains that Rashi quotes Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that Yitzchak should look like Avram Avinu, Shlo Yomru, that people should not say Mavimelech Nesabr Sarah, that Sarah got pregnant from Avimelech. Why was it necessary? So the Chassam Sofer explains that the story that happened with what happened on the night of Pesach, and Yitzchak was born, there was a year later on Pesach. So the question is, if he was born a year later, it's obvious that Avimelech wasn't the father, because it's 9 months that a woman is pregnant, not 12 months. And that story happened 12 months ago, says the Chassam Sofer. But since our Gemara just taught us of a new din, that there's a new concept, the concept of Ishtai, the things sometimes get delayed. So from this Gemara, we see that just because the child was born 12 months later, that won't prevent people from saying that Mevibelechnes Abrasara. The only way to prevent that issue was by, to prevent that concern, was by making Yitzchak look like Avram Avinu. The Meiri speaks about an incident where there was a woman that was, that according to the, what would happen, they say that she was holding a child for 50 months. That says the Miri, so when Al Gemara spoke about 12 months, it isn't necessarily only 12 months. It could be as much as 15 months. The Ramban, however, says that when the Gemara said that sometimes it takes 12 months, it's not more than 12 months. And if a child was born more than 12 months after this husband and wife were no longer were not possibly together, the child would be a mamzer. The Bahag disagrees. He says that no matter how long there was a separation, the child is always not going to be considered a mamzer. And the reason the Bahag says so is the Bahag has a new consideration. The Bahag says that even though we see that the parents, the father, mother, this couple were not together for such a long time, we need to be concerned that maybe this child, this father, visited the mother sometime during that period, and that's why she became pregnant. So the Rishonim asked that according to the Bahag, that the Bahag came up with this new consideration, that maybe the parents were together during this time, so why didn't our Gemara mention this consideration? So Tosfos in Masechet Kedushin answers that the only time we take the Bahag's consideration into concern is when the mother explicitly claims that she's pregnant from the father. But in a case where the mother isn't making that claim, we should make that claim by ourselves is incorrect. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says not only is the Bahag's consideration correct, but the Rosh holds that even when neither of the parents explicitly make this claim, we should be concerned that. And the only time, says the Rosh, we don't take the Bahag's consideration into concern is in a case where both parents explicitly say that we weren't together during this period. But if they would not have said that, then the halacha would be that we have to take that consideration on our own into concern. Rabbi Yitzchak Volozhiner, in his Sefer Peh Kadosh, says that the pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'tira oisa kitovhu, v'tetzpineu shloish yirochim," and he asks, why does the pasuk use the word "v'tira oisa"? It would be adequate that the pasuk should just say "v'tira kitovhu," but says the Peh Kadosh that our Gemara is teaching us that a child born by 8 months will not survive. The only time that the child, we say that even though he's born to that period, he's going to survive, is that we see that he's born with his, as the Gemara say, simon mechichan lov. We see that he's developed with his hair, with his fingernails. So says the Peh Kadosh. That's what happened over here. Yecheved had Moshe Rabbeinu at 7 months. And at 7 months, he should not be considered somebody that we should be concerned will survive. Says the Pasuk, V'teira Isai, Yocheved examined Moshe Rabbeinu. And she examined Isai, how does he look? And she discovered Kitayvhu, that even though he was born to 7 months, he looks like a fully developed child. And since he looks like a fully developed child, that's why v'titzpinei shloish yirochim, she hid him for 3 months, assuming that he will be able to survive. Tana Rabbana begins the Gemara Braisa, Ezu Sris Chama, who can we identify is certainly a Sris Chama, says the Braisa Koshu Ben Esrim, if he's 20 years old, v'loi hevi shtei saris, he didn't bring the shtei saris, v'afilu hevi la'achamakan, and even if ultimately they develop, still, Hareyu Kutsaris. The halacha treats him like a saris. Veilein Tsimonim. Kol Shein Lezokin. Somebody who doesn't have a beard. Usara Lokoi. He doesn't have good hair. Usara Machlik. His complexion of his skin is not like the complexion of a man. Rather, he's the complexion of a woman. Rishim Gamalil. I'm Rishim Yehuda Ben Yar. Kol Shein Meimov. Mal Rasichis, there's no heat that emanates from his urine. Yeshemrim, Kolamatl Mayim Venus Akipa, his urine doesn't come out like a stream. The Yeshem Kosha Shikva Zara Doicha, his semen is clear, it's like water, doesn't have some body to it. The Yeshem Kosh Ain Mayragl Machmitzim, his urine doesn't become spoiled, doesn't become putrefied when you leave it out in a keli. When he takes a bath in hot water in the winter, his body doesn't give steam. You can't tell on his voice. Ve'nikar ben ish l'isha, even though he's a male, he sounds like a female. Ve'ezer Islandus continues the brisa, who was identified to be an Islandus. Kol she bas esrim, if she's 20 years old, v'lehevi shtei saris, and she didn't bring the shtei saris, v'fil lehevi l'ach mekan, even ultimately, she will bring the shtei saris, harei ka'alanus kilhol dvarel. If she has the simonim islandus, then she's considered an islandus. Ve'ele in simona, kosha en ledadim, she doesn't have breast, or miskasha b'shas tashmish, she has difficulty having relations. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, kosha en le shipule mayim kenoshim, she doesn't have a figure, a shape of a body, like a woman. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, kosha kola ova, that her voice sounds like a male. Then in the Keres Ben Ish L'Isha, we cannot determine her voice sounds like a male, not like a female. Itmar, Simoni Saris, says the Gemara, what about the Simoni Saris? Rafuma Ache Kulam, an individual cannot be identified as a Saris to be considered a Vade Saris unless he has all the Simonim. But Taisus points out that even though Rav Huna says that you cannot identify an individual to be a Vadei Soris until he brings all the Simonim, but with some of the Simonim, we could identify it to be a Sophic Soris. Rav Yochanan Amar, Afilo Hevi Simon Echod, it's enough to identify him to be a Soris. And the Gemara clarifies the Machlokes. And says the Gemara, Hechi Devi Shtei Soris Bezokin. If he brought two hairs from his beard. Kula amulei pligi. Everybody will agree that the loy at the atche bekulan, that he's not considered a saris until he brings the all of the simonim. So Taisus asked the question: if he brought two hairs, then he doesn't have one of the simonim, because we learned that one of the simonim is that he doesn't have a beard. So how is it possible that he should have all the simonim and not have a beard? A beard is one of the simonim. So Taisus answers that ein lo zaken doesn't mean that he doesn't have any hair. It means that he doesn't really have a beard. And just because somebody has a few strands of hair on his face, it's not considered that he has a zaken. Ki pligi, the question is, shloi hevi, that he didn't bring that he doesn't have any hair. Rav Huna holds that he's not considered in Saris until he has all of the Simonim. And Rabbi Yochanan, as we learned, says that you have to have one Simon to be considered that he is a Saris. Ask the Gemara, Elohad Amar Lu Rav Chana Bar Ava Lu Rabbanan. Ailu Beib Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had some of the Simonim of a Saris. And he said, look, Ibisar Ma'ala Hevel, if when he goes to a hot bath, the steam come out. Ve'eselei Bereas, if we see that he gives off steam, I will know that he is not a Saris, because he doesn't have all of the simonim of a Saris, and therefore I will have no problem marrying off my daughter to him. Taman, this follows the opinion of Rav Huna, because Rav Huna said that until you have all the simonim, you're not a Saris. Loi. Says the Gemara of Nachman Siki Dikna Havalei. He had a number of hairs and a number of spots on his face. And in that case, we just learned that even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that he will not be identified as Saris unless he has all of the Simon of a Saris. And therefore, we could see that steam emanates from his body. That would be enough to know that Rav Nachman is not a Saris. And therefore, Rabbi Baravua would have no problem having Rav Nachman marry his daughter. We learned in the Mishnah, Hasaris lecholitz v'lemiyabim v'kein islandus. Says the Gemara, Ketani Saris domin the islandus. The Mishnah treated the dinim of a Saris and the dinim of the islandus equivalently. Ma islandus. An islandus is an individual who becomes that way b'day shemayim. Av Saris b'day shemayim. It says the Gemara, Stoma, our Mishnah clearly is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Domer, the Rabbi Kiva at the beginning of our Mishnah said that they are them in that somebody who is a Saris that became a Saris later or became a Saris because of human intervention has a chiv chalitza, but they shemaim loy. And the fact that our Mishnah has a Saris and islandus grouped together is clearly an indication, says our Gemara, that our Mishnah taskin like Rabbi Kiva.